The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome along. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is the podcast that analyzes people's Amazon purchase history to find out exactly what kind of person they are. Is that an accurate summation, Samantha?
We dive to the murky, hidden depths of their Amazon purchase history.
We go through their Amazon bins.
Now, we say there, but today...
Well, it's the end of year special because we've had a lovely year. May is when we first dropped My Mate Bought a Toaster. When we started.
Dropped. It makes us sound really cool.
It was really cool. We've got a Twitter account and everything, and an Instagram account, except we haven't got an Instagram account. No, and it just hasn't it, you know, let's have a moment. It's been lush, this, and numbers are lovely. Lots of people are listening. I hope you are too. Dead pleased. It's really nice, you know.
I mean, it's been fine.
Okay. So I did.
No, I've enjoyed it. It's been a wonderful vessel for me to promote my book, Harrier vs. the Galaxy, available on Amazon.
Except you don't listen back to the episodes, and I cut that out every single time.
No. No, we've met some lovely people. Mm-hmm. And also, I've bought some amazing things on Amazon based on the recommendations.
Well, exactly. We'll get onto that. So, what we decided to do a couple of weeks ago, I suggested stupidly that for the Christmas special, for the end of series spectacular, me and Sam Baines could swap and we would do each other. So to speak. In the spirit of that, this episode is a kind of Christmas special, and Sam is going to go through my Amazon purchase history, and I'm already deeply mortified.
I am doing Tom Price on My Mate Bought a Toaster. So he's got no laptop in front of him, which he normally does.
Instantly, I feel uncomfortable and unhappy because it makes you realise all those people who work in, you know, all those sort of jobs-worthy, officious people who might work behind a desk and people come towards them and they do everything through their computer, don't they? If you're working at some sort of check-in desk, for example. Not saying that everyone who works at a check-in desk is officious, but you know what I mean. As soon as you've got a computer in front of you, you've got a source of information and you've got stabilizers, right? Like if that's your job, you can look at things and you can feel in control.
It's a bit of a shield as well, isn't it?
Yes.
If you've got the computers in between.
Yes.
You know, computer says no.
Well, it's computer says no because the computer is the person who's got nothing to do with me. I've just got to follow what the computer says. So instantly, I don't have that and now I'm shitting bricks.
Now you're naked and actually I can see your nipples through your shirt, which I never normally can. Always a laptop.
Welcome to my nipples today.
That.
And I've got a little bit, I've dribbled a bit of my Christmas coffee drink as well.
So
I feel very vulnerable, Sam.
I know, because I feel like you're ranting. You're trying to distract me away from your purchase history, but I'm going straight in.
Okay.
You started early. What's the earliest we've had on the podcast?
Matt Green, 1999.
Oh, you're not as early as him.
No, go on.
2004.
Okay, right.
Your very first purchase.
Ooh, what was my first purchase? What?
No way. This is your actual, like, you've logged me into your account.
What?
First purchase in 2004.
I'm already feeling this is a really bad idea and we shouldn't do this. I think we should just do a best of. Have a quick listen to Jeff Lloyd. Here he is. Earlier on this year.
Your first purchase, 2004, Tom Price, was Britney Spears' Greatest Hits, My Prerogative.
Shouldn't regret it, Rhea. It's great.
You spent £13.49 on that. Closely followed by your second purchase, Busted Live, a ticket for everyone.
That was a present for my nephew, Finn, who at the time was forgivably young to have Busted Live. Britney, however, I don't have that excuse.
Yeah.
Britney
was
for
Britney
me.
A present
is
for?
Is that the DVD or the CD of Britney? I think it might be the DVD. I think I remember getting it and feeling a certain frisson that I was just going to watch all of those videos again and again and again.
It's a DVD.
Yeah.
She looks very sexy on the... Where are you at this time, relationship-wise, 2004?
2004, I was already with Beth, who I'm still with to this day at the time of recording the podcast, obviously.
Does she look like Britney Spears?
Very much like Britney Spears. During the shaved head period. Does she look like Britney Spears? Yes, she acts like her as well.
Was there ever any fantasies about Britney, any role play that you asked her to do?
No, I just liked her music, Sam. Stop digging into passion for Britney Spears. I really liked I liked her work. I think she's an amazing pop star, and I think Toxic is one of the best pop songs ever written, and I stand by that, and I'm whining now because I'm nervous.
You stand by that. I feel like we should, like, call we should call Beth and be like, did you ever see this Britney DVD?
That is the last thing we would possibly bring into this clusterfuck of a podcast.
Is
my
it
wife.
Hidden under your bed?
No, I bought it, and it's something I only got rid of quite recently because, as I remember, it was in quite nice packaging. It was quite sparkly and silver, and I liked the idea of having a DVD. And I had one of the I had my DVDs of like greatest hits. I had the Smiths, Manic Street Preachers, and Britney. Those were the three DVDs I had on my shelf, and I would sure. I liked it because I did basically, Sam. This was an analog YouTube. If I wanted to just chill out and watch a couple of DVDs, Ben and Sebastian as well. It's another one I had on DVD. I'd watch a couple of their music videos.
But it's interesting that you bought the Britney DVD and not the CD. So obviously concerned.
I wanted
quite
to
a
look
lot
at her
with the visual.
Yeah, I wanted to look at her because I find her sexually attractive.
Do you have a Smiths DVD?
Yeah, I still do. Yeah.
DVD.
A DVD of the best Smith songs.
That's
yeah,
good. Mm. Nice equality there.
Exactly
in your
so.
Purchases.
Thank you.
You also bought The Incredibles. Mm-hmm. DVD, are we a fan?
Did I buy the DVD of The Incredibles? Are you sure? Are you sure it's not a computer game?
I don't know. Oh, it is a computer game. It's for the Game Boy Advance.
You know who that's for? You know who that's for?
A child.
Sally Price, my mother.
Your mother?
My mother is a silver Nintendo user.
What does silver mean? Is that the colour of her hair or is that the colour of the Nintendo?
Silver is the go-to colour you use when you describe anyone over the age of about, let's say, 60, 65.
Okay.
So silver surfers.
I thought so. I just wondered there's if it was a PlayStation gaming.
No, there's a whole thing now about silver Instagrammers as well, older people using Instagram, because there's a whole bunch of people who are bringing Instagram to life for the older generation. Basically, that means it's the end of Instagram, right? Because this is what happened with Facebook. Originally it happened with the Beatles. It was cool for kids, and then parents got into it, and that's the end of that. Anyway, this is my mum playing on her Nintendo Game Boy, which she really enjoyed. So, and I got massive credit from my family because my mum, you know, the best woman in the world, doesn't really do much. Sits around at home a lot, goes in and works in a charity shop, and then comes back home, lives by herself. And this is before things like FaceTime came along, which for anyone with elderly relatives, it really rescues your elderly relative if you can video call. It's an amazing thing.
You can look at their ear.
You can look at their
40 ear. Minutes.
You can look at my mum's fingernail because she always puts her thumb over the camera. Things like Facebook and stuff, that's been amazing for her. But then those lifelines weren't there. So she played The Incredibles. Yeah. She wants you.
Why The Incredibles?
I don't know. She phoned me up and said, darling, I'd like... Because she'd seen an advert. They're very easily influenced, the boomers. Very easily influenced.
Okay, well, you're having a lovely time here. You're buying some DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
A game for your mum.
Yeah, classic. Britney Spears and a game for my mum.
Only six orders
right.
in 2014. But, you know.
But I'm quite tight. I don't like spending money. And
still
I
now
didn't yeah in 2004
actually you did buy me a coffee and you frowned when I suggested that it was the largest size, so I see that
you got a venti oat latte. I was just a bit like
chai latte. It's Christmas
fine, but you know it's podcasting, love. It's Christmas, but it's podcasting, which means medium.
So on the 29th of March 2005 you bought The West Wing season 3,
right? Okay.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen any West Wing?
No.
Oh, Sam, it's amazing. It's Aaron Sorkin at his most allegedly coked up best, because he was quite fueled by various amphetamines when he was writing The West Wing. And it's basically anyone who's got a political conscience and socially is a bit maybe central or centre left sees The West Wing as this massive wet dream, basically. It's essentially like the Britney Spears DVD.
I was going to say, it's alongside Britney on the bookcase
but
for Wet Dream.
It's a political Britney Spears, because you've got Jed Bartlett, the leader of the free world, is this amazingly intelligent, articulate, empathetic, powerful man, and it makes you so fucking horny. And it's beautifully written. Every episode has got so much depth. The characters have got so much complexity. It's amazing. But then along came President Obama, and you're like, actually, now this is the real thing happening for real. Jed Bartlett was like this impossible dream, and then Obama happened, and it was like, actually, Obama's even better than Jed Bartlett. That's what it felt like at the time.
A prophet.
Yes.
Time.
Yes. It's funny as well. Really funny, funny performances in it. The comedy in The West Wing is second to none.
So this is the whole of season 3. So you'd obviously already binged 1 and 2.
How much did I cough up for that?
$26.97.
Shit, that bad.
It's
bearing
free
in mind,
now, isn't it?
Oh, mate. So where are we now? 2005,
yeah. So what are you doing that you have enough time on your hands to watch 3 seasons of The West Wing?
2005, me and Beth were halfway through the year we moved in together. July 2005, we moved in together.
That's a nice thing to do, box sets with a new couple.
She didn't like The West Wing, but she liked going to work. So at this stage, this is not happening now in my life. Now in my life, I'm just rammed from day until night, constantly doing all sorts of bits and bobs and stuff.
Sure, you're doing well. No.
It's mainly looking after, walking my dog and caring for my children. But back then, I did have swathes of spare time, which I've always struggled with, because I've always struggled with anxiety, terrible anxiety. And back then, I had all this spare time and I didn't know what to do with it. So I had to, what I'm saying is, the West Wing was very good for my mental health. Okay?
Was it?
I'm just trying to justify
so
it.
Do you find with your anxiety, do you have like go-to things that you do? Do you like, what does watching TV help, or reading?
No, those things are always quite tricky. Running was often the thing. I really got into running back then as well. But no, I would take it out on working and making work happen. You know what I mean? Like trying to book gigs and going out to do gigs and meeting up with other comics for coffees and stuff. I can't sit still and rest.
But does that make your anxiety worse if you just focus on work? Or is that what you need?
No, I think that's what I need. I think anything that exposes me to the yawning abyss of nothingness, because that was the thing that always scared me, was having been at school where it was all like massively force-fed your education and timetable, and this idea that your life was, that you were going to do something very constructive. It was not a very arty school that I went to. It was all about earning money, and it was all about having a proper career you can get to grips with, something which makes sense. So the idea of what I was doing was just impossible, and the assumption was, at this stage, kind of still is, that it would all stop one day. Mm. It would all stop pretty soon. So I was very scared of it going away, if that makes sense. It possibly doesn't. So I would have to watch these things and try and keep that on an even keel, because it still annoys me to this day when people say, "Oh, you don't really do anything. You know, you do radio on the weekends, or you do your stand up every now and again." And you're like, "Oh, you have no idea."
We do so much,
so much,
I
so
think
much.
Anxiety and mental health. Is every performer's best friend.
Yeah.
Because we all seem to have it. I find with my anxiety, reading really helps.
Yeah.
I read a lot of books.
Yeah, but then I can't concentrate. That's the problem. I get distracted. My brain's just whirring.
Well, you're obviously very into DVDs. You bought West Wing. You also bought Bill Bailey.
Yeah, yeah.
You also bought, how old school is this, Toshiba Nikam video recorder.
Did I? Why did I buy a video recorder? How much was it? That's my main concern. I'm so money obsessed. I'm like,
yeah, you are. You keep asking me, and I click off it. $49.99.
What?
In July 2005.
Why did I buy
it? What videos did you want to record?
What was I thinking? Why did I buy a video? Oh, hang on. I know why I did that.
This is obviously no longer available.
No way. I mean, I know I did that because I had to make my show reel. I was making my acting and presenting show reel, and I was using my. I was videoing.
What? We had computers in 2005.
Well, you say that. We had computers in 1985, but they weren't really. A lot of the things that I had done were on video. So, for example, that year I hosted Live 8. You remember Live 8? I was on the Red Button stuff, so I was hosting that. And afterwards, I was like, "Can I have that for my reel, please?" Because it was me with Sarah Kaywood and Matt Bierker. Obviously, you know, big deal, right?
Yeah.
So I got them to send me copies of it, thinking it would come on DVD, and they all sent stuff on video. That's why. So then I have to.
They sent you things on video in 2005.
And in 2018, I think it was, I got rid of them. But up until that point, I kept them. I know, it's mad, isn't it?
Well,
yeah.
There's lots of 5-star reviews for this video recorder.
I thought you were going to say 5-star reviews for my showreel, then. No. I got quite excited. My showreel's still up on YouTube, but I've very much.
On video?
Oh, yes, but I've taken it. No, it's on YouTube, but I
can
have.
Can you order the.
That's right, you have to video. Have a VHS player. No, I have taken it off. So it's there, but you have to go looking for it. Let people see if anyone does it. It's fucking.
Let's all do it.
Horrendous.
I'll find the link in a tweet.
Okay.
Robert said he's very, very pleased. 5-star for the video recorder. Firstly, let me take this chance to see how happy I am with the product and speed of delivery. Mm. Price is very good. Which made me certain in fulfilling the purchase.
Well, that was back in the day, wasn't it? When the idea of Prime stuff being delivered quickly was a miracle. You know, now we get same-day delivery, we take it for granted. But back then it was like, it arrived! Because up until that point, anything arriving within a month of you ordering it by post was miraculous. What? Because normally, you just, you know, your Diana mug from the back of a paper.
This world of 2005 with...
It's basically the 60s.
...being sent things on video and recording things off the telly.
I'm trying to sell 2005 as the future.
I love
just
it.
Just in the past.
So you got a video recorder, you got some DVDs. You also, look at you, so future... looking technology. You bought a DAB digital radio.
Oh, hello.
For $82.99.
And that might have been a Christmas present for my brother, actually. Whenabouts did I buy that?
Currently unavailable. Mm. 24th of November.
Yeah, that was a Christmas present for my brother. He is a...
Were you on the radio at this point?
No, no, no. I always wanted to do radio, but I got distracted by comedy and acting and other bits. And I only got round to doing radio in 2015, 16. That's when I finally did it. So at this stage, it was something I wanted to do, but it wasn't readily available.
I hoped that you were on the radio and you bought him a radio so he could listen to you.
No, he listens to me now, but he listens to me on what he calls Tragic FM, which is nice of him. Very supportive brother. Right, so he won't listen to this. He's a prick.
Does he do that via app? How does he listen?
No, so he had that radio player there, that radio, the DAB radio there, broke, obviously, years ago. And he then started using an Alexa, but he got really fed up with the Alexa-ness of it. He got fed up with talking to it, and it wouldn't do what he asked it to do. You have to bear in mind, my brother is 8 years older than me, but in a sense, he's 80 years older than me. He's like this sort of he talks to Alexa like that, Alexa, play Radio 4, please. Thank you. He sort of reverts to something.
He's a politician.
Yeah, he's like he's in a Tory cabinet in the 1930s or something.
Wow.
And so he got sick of it. So he decided to buy, last Christmas, he bought a new DAB radio, which is identical to the one there. And it arrived and he got it out. He's like, did his typical thing. Thank you very much. That's good. Yeah. So he plugged it in to have a listen to it, stuck Radio 4 on Christmas Day. So we're all sitting trying to continue our Christmas Day-ness. And he was listening to Radio 4 and it was quite loud. And we were like, Tope, can you put the radio on? It's annoying, isn't it? Alexa, switch off. He's like, use the new...
He got confused.
Well, the new radio that he got specifically to rebut Alexa wouldn't switch off. Turns out it wasn't voice control.
So, you're living with your girlfriend of the time.
So, yeah, by the middle of the year, I'm living with my girlfriend of the time and I'm doing bits of stand-up. And I think a Torchwood might have started by then, or maybe not, I can't remember.
So, who is Genevieve...
Geneviève, c'est ma belle-sœur. She is French. She is my brother's wife, the one we were just talking about.
Oh.
It's his wife.
Because you spent £58.84 on a gift for her.
Did I?
Very nice.
What, in 2005?
Yeah, you bought her Remington wet, straight, slim straighteners.
Did
she have bad hair?
No, I mean, no.
Did she ask for them? It's a weird gift.
She must have asked me to get... It must have been that thing, much like with Alison Hammond on the Kate Lawler podcast when she asked for a hot tub. My sister-in-law asked me to buy her some curling tongs or straightening... Straightening irons.
It was the time of straighteners. This is 2006 now.
So is everyone looking for a Rachel still at this point?
Yeah, okay. Probs.
Or she'd call it a Rachel.
Smooth. Mm-hmm. Smooth hair.
No, I don't think I bought her that. That must have been something I did. She must have... repaid me for that. Well, hang on, when did I buy it? What 58, time?
58, February.
Yeah. Oh, hang on.
2006.
That's near her birthday. Yes.
Maybe you were just really generous back then.
That's near her birthday.
Just one time.
Wow.
Only. Oh,
that's nice of me. I'm learning through this purchase history that I'm nicer than I realised.
We're seeing some of your music, because you are a bit obsessed with music. Mm. Whenever people buy music purchases, you always go off on a music... journey in your head and discuss with them. And I don't really know that much.
You
bought Star Sailor.
Yeah. Don't you know you've got your daddy's eyes?
Sure. Belle and Sebastian.
Daddy was an alcoholic. Belle and Sebastian, yeah. I love these bands.
You See Colours, Delays.
Oh, I don't remember that one. Oh, I don't remember that one at all. Okay. All right. This is another good tour through. Because the problem is all this has been lost in the cloud now. All this music is still there, but it's not there, you know.
Well, I'm glad it hasn't all been lost, because there is one thing I do want to ask you about.
Okay.
Why did you buy The Game Undercover in the Secret Society of Pickup Artists?
This is the awful book, isn't it? We've
this
talked
is the
about this
awful
before on this
book.
Podcast.
Who bought this book?
Negging and all that stuff. Tez Ilyas might have bought it, I think, and a couple of other people. So I can tell you why I bought this. I was with Beth at the time. She was working at a TV company called RDF. Or maybe actually she was still at the BBC then. And her colleague had bought it. And she needed to get a copy because she wanted to research it for a TV format. So I have a rock solid get out, but of course I bought it. And I was like, I'm going to fucking read that.
Did you read it?
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit, I've been nice.
Do you remember any salient points?
Well, no, I remember the upshot of it was I remember feeling like, and it's true that women, and maybe men like it with women as well, but if you are a bit less keen, it does make them like you more. And there is such a thing as being a bit too enthusiastic and into them.
Well, there's too enthusiastic. There's let's get married on the first day.
No, no. But if there's a girl who you fancy and you ignore her, she likes it. And that's I'd never realised that. And this book confirmed
it. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but sure. Well, people who ignore me, I just don't talk to them.
Well, okay.
In the playground.
The universal.
If you ignore them, they like you.
It is.
In the playground, if boys hit you, they like you. That's what women are told from a very young age, which is absolutely ridiculous as a rule for life.
Yeah, yeah. If they're pulling your hair, oh my God, I've seen that with my kids at parties.
Yeah.
And they pick on girls and you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Get off, what are you doing? They were all pulling this girl's hair and they were jumping on her on the
fancy
castle because they fancied her and they don't understand it.
A horrific rule for life.
Yeah.
For girls to learn.
Yeah, I know.
If he's pulling your hair, he fancies you.
So bad enough for kids to have this. Borderline criminal for it to be released as a book for adults. No, I read it and I took from it that there is a certain way of being with women that I'd never done, I didn't do, was not my style because I was always too fucking desperate, that might have had more success with women, but who cares? By that stage, I was with someone, so
it
was
dumb. You're with someone, now you're married and you've got children, so it works. So you shouldn't be a dick.
No, I know, that's a good rule for life.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelo Sandberry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Yeah. Where we're going, we'll be showing that we listen to toast. Cause these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host.
He's gonna ask a couple questions.
What the buy in the most? Cause one man got down just like a piece of toast.
Okay, so into 2007.
Yeah.
Up in the orders, got 13.
Oh, yeah.
Check you out.
Uh huh.
Let's see what we got.
2007, I think I definitely was doing Torchwood by then and probably still swinging the sketch show on Channel 5. And probably, this was kind of me, I was quite TV at this stage. I had my MTV show, I think. Where I had to pretend to be cool and young, even though I wasn't really.
Did you have an MTV show?
Yeah, it was called Dating. It was called Senseless. It was where people went dating in the dark. And I had to be all Russell Brand and cool. And I hated it.
Is that why you bought the body sculpture mini twist stepper with cords?
What is that?
it's an exercise thing.
Oh, again, that's for my. That was
on
a
the
present.
Floor. So it's got feet, and then you step side to side on them,
you
and
know
it
what?
Gives you good abs. That totally, was for you.
No, totally for Beth. Totally for Beth.
That was so.
When did
for
I buy
you.
It? When did I buy it?
27th of November.
Yep. Gearing up for Christmas, love. Oh, I can't believe how many Christmas presents I'd bought by then.
No, that was so for you. You bought it with Family Guy season 6.
Yeah, that was for me.
And the canine dog biscuit kit.
What's the canine? Oh, we got Polly in this year. We got Polly in 2007. That's the biggest thing about 2007. That was the year that my life improved eternally, forever. As the introduction of a black labradoodle.
This is become a pet biscuit expert with these kits containing shaped cutters and a cookbook that includes recipes for hand mixing, food processors and bread machines, along with recipes for baking in the oven and microwave.
Yeah.
Did you bake your dog biscuits?
Well, once. We baked her biscuits once for her birthday, which was around that time. Yes, in fact, November the 5th was her birthday.
That is such a new pet owner thing
and
to do.
We made her a birthday cake of biscuits, which I took to the park, and all her friends gathered round. Weirdly, much like taking bread to Trafalgar Square with the pigeons or whatever. I went to the Clissold Park, and hundreds of dogs gathered around me as I handed out biscuits. And I was in that, my naivety, I hadn't realised how some dogs were not as well-trained as my dog, Sam, and a dog called Bingo... pretty much severed my entire right index finger because I was feeding.
And Bingo was his name.
Bingo was his name.
So this is obviously pre-kids when you've got a lot of time to make dog biscuits.
Yeah, we're still 5 years pre-kids, so I've got half a decade left of happiness at this point.
Okay.
So I'm making dog biscuits and I'm trying to make hay while the sun shines.
Talking of wonderful things, you bought Austerity Britain.
Oh, David Kynaston. So
1945 to 1951.
I realise I'm a very boring man.
Book.
This is brilliant history, though. I like a bit of history. And this is all primary source history. So it's interviews and it's letters. And do you know what I mean? So it's not some historian pontificating about the things that happened. The actual book is just an amalgamation of someone writing a letter to someone about what life was like in London during the 1945 to 51 period, or all this sort of stuff. And it was fascinating. And that book, which I bought in 2007,
still
by my bed.
By your bed?
About 12 years after I bought it.
Austerity Britain.
It is still by my bed.
Or still relevant.
Just over halfway through it. So the actual...
You've not finished
it. Oh, God. The period of the period of history is 6 years long. And it's been... That book has been on the side of my bed for twice that.
For 12 years. Wow.
Yeah. It's really good, but I just get the whole...
It's so good you haven't finished it.
It's massive.
Should we leave a review?
Yeah.
Also, can I just say that the thrilling purchase was also coupled with Mario Strikers Charged Football for the Wii.
Oh, yeah, got a Nintendo Wii. That was brilliant.
Did you finish that?
I did complete Nintendo Mario Strikers. The Wii was amazing because Nintendo have got this fantastic magic with their computer games that involves bringing lots of people around, and it's a really social thing to do. And I remember being the first person to get a Wii, and I got everyone around and had sort of Wii parties. And
sounds like a different thing. Golden showers.
Donald Trump was there. And it was really good. Again, a lot of time on my hands. And
Wii parties.
We had Wii parties in my late 20s. I remember having my friend Neil came over. This is a man, we were both in the late 20s. He got so upset that he lost. He went over to the corner where it was, and he unplugged the TV and the Wii. And not even in a joke, in a very serious,
angry way.
Fuck this! Not fair! You shouldn't have scored that goal. Bum, bum,
plum, plum, I get that angry about Articulate and board games.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, okay. I struggle. Right. Anyway, we're going to leave a review for Austerity Britain.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Before, I think you should know that it has 69% five-star rating.
Okay, we have to give it 5 stars.
Darina has given it 3 stars.
Why?
And she's titled it An Elderly Lady's Viewpoint.
Oh, God.
As I am 89 years old and lived through that time, I didn't find a lot of information I could relate to. True, we lacked a great many things we take for granted today, but what we didn't have, we didn't miss. I feel the author relies too much on government reports, which made dry reading. See, that's the thing you liked.
Mm.
Also, I think he seems to have chosen the most depressing people's quotes. Don't want to read any further books in this series.
Oh, it's very sort of shutting it all down, isn't it?
It is called Austerity Britain. It's not going to be like a peppy, upbeat.
But also there's that classic thing of going, well, I didn't suffer, so why should I listen to the people or listen about people who did suffer? If she did well out of it during that time, then well done to her. That seems strange.
So what are we giving it? 5 stars?
5 stars. Absolutely.
What's the headline? Not actually finished it yet?
Yeah, not finished it.
I've had this for 12 years. I've had this book by my bed.
For 12 years. I am halfway through. Very dusty. Every now and again I have to dust the book. Have you dusted the book down, darling? Yes, I've hoovered the floor and I've dusted the book. Good night.
Sounds like a euphemism.
Let's have a wee party.
I've had this book by my bed for 12 years and I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
What else did you
That say? Says more about me than the book. Give it a read. It's a great way to spend 12 years of your life. It's a great companion for the next 12 years of your life.
That says... So, not actually finished it yet. 5 stars. I have had this book by my bed for 12 years and I'm halfway through. That says more about me than the book. Give it a read. It's a great companion for the next 12 years of your life.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes, good.
Submit.
Thanks very much indeed.
Boom.
Done. Brilliant. My mark has been left on the David Kynaston legacy.
Bum, bum, my
Okay, let's whiz forward.
Come on. Let's do this. What year are we getting into now?
I don't know. I'm looking for good stuff.
All right. Okay, is it that dull?
This is hard. Your job's hard.
I know.
Because you talk more.
I know. I'm wittering on.
So it's harder to look and talk.
I know.
Whereas I can just look.
Thank you.
Oh, hello. 19th of March 2010, the Vulcan short wrist strap support.
Oh!
What happened to your wrist?
Oh, what didn't happen to my wrist?
It's after the Wii parties, 4 years of them.
No, so I was in... So this is after I'd been in Torchwood for a couple of years. And when you're in a sci-fi show, Sam, you get to do conventions, right? So you get asked to go and do conventions.
Oh, where, like with lots of people and you sign stuff and they dress up.
That's right. All the fans meet you and it's all blah. So, and which is great. Every now and again, there's one down at Heathrow, some weird convention centre, or maybe one in Sheffield or something like that.
And then, how much did you charge for a headshot?
I'm not going to tell you that. So then I get asked to go and do one in Chicago.
Right. Nice.
Amazing, yeah. So I do.
And you
this,
wanked the whole way there.
And it was, well, trust me, when I was thinking about how much I was charging per headshot, it was hard not to be highly aroused. No, not at all. So I got flown out there and I had to spend 2 days signing autographs and meeting some of the fans of Torchwood. It was a specific Torchwood convention called Torch Song. And it's since gone down in history as one of the biggest disasters in convention history.
Wow.
John Barrowman was supposed to be going. He broke his ankle and didn't make it out of there. Kai Owen, one of the stars of Torchwood, was supposed to be going. He couldn't make it. I was going. I got out there. I had 1 day clear, like a decompression day where you get to just relax. And I'm staying in this hotel on the outskirts of Chicago. Now, in my head, growing up in South Wales, the outskirts means one field away from the central business district, right? That's fine. Bingo. In Chicago, the outskirts means you're basically in Canada. So I decide that I'm going to walk from the hotel to town. That classic American thing where as I set off from the hotel, people are going, sir, are you sure you're going to walk? And, yeah, I'll be fine. Cheerio. And I set off a bit nervous, aware that I was going to walk alongside a motorway. I hadn't got anywhere near the motorway. It was still on a weird little random road near the hotel. And I went to cross the road and a man just came out of nowhere on his bike and he crashed into me. And he was on the wrong side of the
road. On his push bike.
He was on the wrong side of the road for American. So he was on the right side of the road if he was British. Anyway, okay. On a push bike, yeah, he crashed into me. I flew through the air. I put my wrist out behind me and I crunched my left. I've still got the scar there. My left wrist was actually, the doctor subsequently told me, my left arm was 2 inches shorter than it should have been. It had so been all compressed and shattered, essentially. So I'm lying there, so screaming.
So you broke it.
Yeah. Shattered it, smashed it to pieces. He took me back to the hotel, which, as I say, was like a yard away. I mean, that's how far I
got. And they've been like, we told you,
we
sir.
We did say, sir, you can always have got a cab. So I go back in, sir. So I get whisked away in an ambulance to a hospital. Luckily, I had full travel insurance. One of the first things they said when you arrive is they whip out a clipboard. This woman with sort of half moon glasses barges her way past all the nurses who are trying to medically help you, and she makes you sign a thing saying you're liable for this. And if you don't sign the thing, they're just going to walk away from you. They're just going to leave you with you.
What if you were like bleeding out?
Right. So obviously I signed it. I was like, it was fine. I had a Visa card. Luckily, in my bank card, I had full insurance with it. It ended up costing about £15,000.
Whoa.
And one of the things they said when they started treating me was, well, what pain care do you want? Do you want to have... And then again, another clipboard appears in front of you. And they give you a list of the pain treatments you have according to what band of insurance you've got. So right at the bottom, if you've got basically no insurance, they'll give you a couple of Nurofen for about $200. Seriously, absolutely true, for about $200. And it goes all the way down until you can get a local anaesthetic for thousands and thousands of dollars.
Can't you just send someone around the corner to a shop to get you Nurofen for cheaper?
I mean, you know, someone's probably thought about that. But at the time, when you're crippled in agony...
So what did you go for?
A Vicodin. Vicodin that's felled many a star of stage and screen. It's an absolute beast. And the first Vicodin you have, because I'm not a taker of drugs, it's not really my jam, but when you're in that position and someone offers you this thing, you have to have it. The first time you have it, you throw up, because it's got, it's a form of opium, I think. It's got opium in it. So you throw up and have this reaction to it. But then afterwards, after you've had the sicker.
But do you throw it up?
No, not really.
Because then you just have to keep taking it. Well, yeah,
well, it's only the first time you do it. And then... it is like getting into a bath on the inside. It is
lovely.
Amazing. So then I had to go and do this fucking convention for 2 days with this exploded left wrist, which needed to be fixed, but they couldn't fix it because they suggested they had to wait for the swelling to die down. So then
you just were going about your business, signing headshots with a broken wrist.
Yeah. So there's a load of pictures online of me with my arm around people with this left arm of mine in masses of plastering. And you can see my eyes are dilated to the size of spades. I'm standing there smiling at people because every one was worth like X dollars. So I'm like, no, I'm still going to fucking do them because I've got to, you know, got to have enough money to buy my sister-in-law straightening irons, haven't I? So she can do the Rachelle. So I'm getting pictures taken with everyone. I'm signing all these things. Thank God I'm right-handed and not left-handed. Otherwise, that would have been curtains. Flew back. Virgin Atlantic, when I went on the airline with my left arm completely screwed, I said, listen, if there's any way I can be upgraded so I can just lie down and go to sleep. Nope, absolutely not. even though the flight was half empty. So Virgin Atlantic are listening. You're a bunch of pricks. And
did you say, do you know who I am? I'm Torchwood.
Well, that's what I tried to do. And they were like, what's that?
I love the
anagram
people
of Doctor Who. Doesn't matter.
The people at the convention must have been like, this is what British actors are like.
This is what they do.
They just take lots of drugs hug you for money.
That's right, exactly.
Well, I did not expect this story from the wrist support.
That wrist support.
I thought you'd strained it.
So then I got back to the UK. I went straight to St. Thomas's Hospital. I was treated beautifully, free at the point of being treated, and I had a wonderful operation. A doctor called Mr. Richards, who fixed my left wrist, and Torchwood to this day, it's still fine.
Is it shorter than the other one?
No, it's not. No, it's okay.
Put them up in the air and I'll measure.
It's still a little...
It actually looks longer, if anything.
Yeah, I've got a weird...
So. Will you like add on a couple of inches?
Yeah, if you could. Whenever anyone's about to go under. My arm! Oh, God, I've gone under. Oh, God.
So we're still in 2010.
Okay.
After that stressful incident in Chicago.
It wasn't great.
You bought the Minky Trio Concertina Tubular Clothes Era in silver, £14.
Yeah, lovely one, yeah. I love to dry clothes.
Where were you in 2010 in your home life?
So we'd moved into our house. We bought a house one road away from where we had our flat. And in 2000, and I think it was 10. Oh, no, actually, no, it was a bit earlier than that. It was 8, to be fair, but in 10, we'd just moved back in. So in 2008, we bought our house, went on holiday for 2 weeks, came back, and our house had fallen over because there was subsidence in the house.
Oh.
Some people were building a lot of houses next door, and they dug into our foundations. But the thing is about foundations from houses from 150 years ago, it's not actually foundations. There's something called footings, which are about a metre deep, and that's it. And they dug 3 metres under our house, and the footings had just slipped and collapsed. And
so was the house crumbling or just sideways?
Yeah, or basically the one side of the house had dropped, so everything else had to accommodate that. So the roof was wonky, the windows were wonky, there were cracks in every door and every wall.
Thank God it happened when you went on holiday.
It was awful. So they started 2 years of, we had to move out for 2 years and wait for it to be rebuilt. It was really bad. It was really stressful.
And was it covered by insurance?
No, he wasn't insured. The guy whose company had done it wasn't properly insured. And this was a time when everyone was going bankrupt. So they were saying to me at one stage, you know, there's a good chance he's about to go bankrupt because all he's got is the land next door. And he's trying to build 10 houses on this land next door. And if that goes tits up, then you're going to be entitled to like one in every £8 that he's of his debt or something. I don't even know how it works. Basically, you're fucked. You're absolutely fucked. Because it would cost, to fix the house cost like 150 grand. And then we were out, so they had to pay our rent. We cost him something like 300 or 400 grand in the end.
Whoa.
I know, it was awful.
Well, he cost himself that.
Yeah, I mean, right. He did break our house. So, anyway, the clothes...
Do your home insurance not cover that?
If you go into your home insurance, then you're liable for it because you're then having your future insurance payments will be... You'll pay more insurance because technically you've claimed on it, and I don't see why you should have to do that. It was awful, but I got a great clothes dryer 2 years later.
Do you still live
when
there?
When we moved back in. No, we're still in the house. Yeah, it's all fixed now. Yeah,
wow.
Mm. I still check for cracks constantly. I do, I'm obsessed.
I'm in a very old house, so it has cracks everywhere.
They always cracks, yeah.
Like my face. my mate bought...
A?
Kettle!
Oh, so close.
In 2010, he bought the Philips Energy Efficient Kettle.
Yeah, is that the one that lights up blue? That was a tremendous friend. Beth and I have been through a lot of kettles in our relationship. We absolutely burn them out because we have a lot of tea. We drink a lot of cups of tea.
Do you do that thing where you boil the lime scale thing in it to get rid of the lime scale?
Absolutely not. No.
Well, that's why you're burning through so many kettles.
Well, what I'd rather is just throw the kettle away and buy a new one. I think you'll find that's better for the environment.
It's not.
No, it's sheer laziness. Well, that's why we've got a boiling tap now. And you know a boiling tap is... Oh, it's life-changing. Life-changing.
Is it energy efficient?
Yeah, because the water is taken to boiling, kept at boiling the whole time. And then, because it's got this sort of tank that's incredibly well insulated, so the water that's kept at boiling, it requires absolutely minimal energy to keep the water at boiling point.
But is it heat? So it's not being heated?
You see the red light come on when it gets heated, and it comes on about...
Do you have a smart meter?
Once an hour, it goes, no, I don't have a smart meter.
I'd be interested.
I've got smart eyes, Sam. I've got smart eyes.
No, sometimes on my smart meter, I spend £2.70 a day, and it's really stressful. And I'm like, how have I done that?
What have you spent it on?
don't know, like boiling the kettle and cooking a meal. You should get a smart meter about that tap.
Well, anyway, we've got a boiling tap now, so it's saving money because we're not having to burn through a kettle every, you know, 2 or 3 months. But that was a good kettle, that one. I liked that kettle. I miss her.
How do you burn through a kettle in 2 or 3 months?
It wasn't that often, but it was
There's
quite a lot.
There's something weird that you're doing with kettles.
Yeah. I did fuck them as well. Maybe that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, that is an issue.
Oh, God.
My mate bought a toaster!
Hey! I bought a toaster on Amazon! Now, is this the Duolit?
It's the DeLonghi Icona 4-slice toaster in scarlet red.
Oh, still got it, mate.
£58.20.
£58.20. And it's the red one, right?
Yeah.
Still got that toaster?
It's still currently available.
It still works. That is 8 years. That is nearly the length of a David Kynaston book that I've had that toaster. That is a member. If you measure out your life in toasters, that was probably when I probably turned 3 for that one, I reckon, in my life.
Wow.
And
it's now £195.89.
Okay, it's gone up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Brexit, isn't
sell it?
Sell it. Do you think there's a market in antique toasters?
I think it might be a slightly upgraded version.
Well, how can you upgrade a toaster? You know,
it's got fingerprint resistant glossy finish. Have you got that?
That's not an upgrade. That's just funnying about. That's
4-slice toasting.
The only upgrade you could have, it's a bit like the Mac 3 razors when they went mad. They went from 3 blades, now there's like 9 blades on a razor.
Is there a bagel option on yours?
No, there isn't actually, no.
There's reheat, defrost, bagel and cancel functions.
But to do a bagel, you've got
What about crumpet? That's more important.
No, we don't eat crumpets in our life.
Eat crumpets?
You've made me feel a bit morose about my toaster.
No, it's beautiful. I love that it's red.
It's really nice. It's really nice. It just sits under the boiler there. It's got a really lovely little spot in the corner of the kitchen.
Under the boiler?
It's a friend. Sometimes when I'm doing the toast, I'll open the boiler just to check the water pressure. It's one of my happiest. It's a real happy place for me.
Oh. Now, I've been ignoring this up until now because I thought, vacuums, it's a normal purchase. But you have bought so many vacuums. So we're in 2011. This is at least the 4th vacuum I've seen so far in your account.
I'm so boring.
This is the Dyson bagless handheld vacuum.
Well, obviously, I won't have Dyson in my house anymore because
£139.59.
Oh, they're so expensive, Dysons. Do you know what, though? I think we've still got that Dyson. It still works, which is annoying because Dysons do break down a lot. They break very easily. And they're clunky. They're big, chunky bits of weirdly coloured plastic.
But do they hoover up?
Well, they suck. They do suck very well.
They're good at sucking. Well, so, I'm going to keep an eye out for more vacuums.
God, I don't know. Well, it's being a dog owner, Samantha. That's what it is. If you own a dog, then the chances are you're going to need to suck up hair and or shit.
And is that also
I've
the reason...
I've never hoovered shit, just to be clear. Though.
Is that also the reason for the sheep apron, which is a picture of a naked man with a sheep in front of him with his tongue out?
Lads!
And then steam coming out of the sheep's ears.
Because it's being...
Fucked.
Fucked so much there's steam coming out of
its
ears.
It's just called sheep apron, but it's a sheep fucking apron.
Who did I buy that for?
So for yourself, got to deliver to you, and you spent £9.14 on that.
I have no recollection of that. Why did I buy a sheep being fucked apron?
You can also, the frequently bought together items that Amazon is offering here is also a inflatable sheep.
Wow.
And a badge that says, I love bum sex.
Right. Okay. Well, obviously, I mean, that's...
But you didn't buy those. You just went for the...
I just went for the sheep. Yeah. Maybe it was for, it's probably for a stag deal or something rotten like that. I mean, come on, it is hilarious.
Someone's given it 4 stars and put, great gift for a man that has everything.
Well, there you go. See?
Needs a fucking a sheep apron.
He's got a toaster.
Is it
How many hoovers has he got? 7. Does he need an apron? No, he does not have an apron with a sheep being fucked. There you go.
Is it because you're Welsh?
Is it because I was Welsh? I don't think so. No, I don't think that's got anything to do with being Welsh. I'm not sure. Well, unless it was for my best mate Ed stag do.
But though, isn't the horrible thing that people say about Welsh people?
Yeah, is that we like fucking sheep.
Yeah.
Not true. We like making love to sheep.
Not true. You like wearing aprons where you're fucking sheep, but not actually doing the deed yourself.
I've got that. I'm really baffled by that one.
£9. Still available if anyone's interested.
Might be.
Away.
Oh, God.
2014.
Oh, God.
Austerity Britain, 1945 to 1951. Why did you buy it again?
Did you buy it again?
Yeah. And also Family Britain, 1951 to 1957.
I think I might have
this
brought...
This is for Guy Price.
Oh, it's for my brother. There we go. I brought them both for my brother. I'm giving my brother 24 years worth of books to read.
I wonder if he's read them.
More than that, technically. I'm giving him 48 years of books to read.
Wow. You really enjoyed half of that book.
That first half of the book is really good. I'm just never going to read it properly. It's true, though, isn't it? You get a thing that you think is... It's the literary equivalent of getting a gym pass. You're like, I'm buying this thing as a token of the type of person I want to be. Then you put it by your bed and you think, yes, that's me now. And then you just get on with your life completely the same.
A token of who you want to be is the book Austerity Britain.
Yeah, I want to be the sort of person who reads those books, consumes all the information in them, and then is really intelligent about it. And then when people are talking about austerity now, you can be, well, of course, in 1952...
That is the opposite of the type of person that I want to be. But also in 2014... You bought Pampers Baby Dry.
Hello.
So what's going on?
2014. I just kept pissing myself.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
No, so we're 2 years into the Having Children project, which is still underway. We've got our little baby at that point, Wilfred. He was 2 years old. So very much still using nappies. And we were changing probably 6 to 7 nappies a day, which still fills me with landfill-based horror.
How many, though?
When they're two, it's a lot less. When they're two, it's about 3 or 4. But when they're like 9 months, six months. When they're 6, 7, 8 months, you can get through easily 6 or 7 a day. Yeah.
I don't have children. Why do they poo so much?
It's not really poo, they just wee loads, and you're always just pouring fluids into them. Milk, have some more milk, have some more milk, and they just
piss. I guess their bodies are smaller, so they can't store up as much shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it has to come straight out.
Yeah, he just goes straight out. Exactly.
God, I wish I pooed 6 times a day. Well, sometimes I do.
Yeah, it'd be a nice hobby. If I pooed 6 times a day, I'd get that David Kynaston book read, I tell you. How many items did I buy in the year?
2015?
Yeah.
120.
Whoa!
Yeah, we've leaped up. You are buying a lot of shoes.
Yeah, well, I just got... Because I've got massive feet. I've got size 13 feet. Good evening.
Oh.
And it's impossible to get those in shops. I don't know why. Maybe they can't fit the boxes in the shops. And I discovered that you can buy them online really easily. So I got very excited about that. And started frantically buying as many pairs of shoes as I could. I was making up for lost time because for the best part of a decade or more, I'd only had about 2 pairs of shoes.
2 pairs?
Like some sort of shoe austerity.
How many do you have now?
12. Loads.
Quite a lot.
Trainers and shoes and cool kicks, man.
2015 is basically a sequence of nappies.
Yeah.
So let's go 2017.
Okay, hopefully. Well, I actually probably find nappies again because... Oh, hang on, 15. The reason we had nappies then is because the little one was born in 15. End of 15, that's when Edward was born. Yeah, that's when the second one came along.
Is it easier to buy nappies on Amazon?
Yeah, that's the thing. You can get them basically on a like a retainer. You just pay like 40 quid a month and just have nappies constantly thrown into your house. And you have to put nappy bins. Oh, my God, the smell of a nappy bin in summer, Samantha. Let me tell you that if ever... There was going to be something you could use to put anyone thinking of having children off the whole notion. Just say to a couple, are you thinking of having kids? Come over to my house. Just open the nappy bin. Have a little sniff of that. Okay, bye-bye. Get a dog. Get a dog or a cat. Cheerio. You'd save the earth.
You're into this retainer business.
I do. I love that.
You've got a Dettol dash button.
Yeah, I got the dash button. I fucking love the dash buttons. And they're all in the cupboard now. That was a very 2017 thing, the dash button.
Is it a physical thing?
Yeah, it's a physical bit of plastic the size of like a biscuit or something. And it's just got a button on it. And it jumps onto your Wi-Fi and it orders the thing that's on the button. So you get a Dettol dash button. You can even get condoms dash button.
You accidentally press it?
You can get a David Kynaston books dash button. Well, that's then you have to go back into the app and say I pressed it by accident.
Now you can just say Alexa, order me some. You've got Dettol, you've got Finish for your dishwasher.
I am clean and boring. I should be a Lib Dem.
Well, funny you should say that.
Here we go.
Because you bought Politics Between the Extremes by Nick Clegg.
How weird that I should say that.
Yeah, literally just above your Dettol dash button.
How strange.
£7 you spent on that.
I really enjoyed it.
Is it by your bed?
I bought that and I bought the Ed Balls book because I felt like at that stage, great people were leaving politics, like Ed Balls and Nick Clegg, whether they were left or a bit more left.
Ed Balls is great.
Yeah, he was a fantastic
politician.
Do you remember
when he tweeted Ed Balls?
I mean, it's great. It's more proof that he's great. He tweeted his own
and
name.
And when he was on Strictly.
I mean, he was great. I'm sorry. At what point are you going to say something about him that isn't great?
I'm sorry.
He's got a great surname.
I didn't realise these were the...
It helps that he tweeted his own name and his name was Balls. I mean, the whole thing is genius. But I just
but
felt...
But he was Google. He was looking himself up,
of course,
wasn't he?
Genius.
I love it.
I just felt like really great people were leaving. And more that's happened even more in 2019. And it's a tragedy because they've been bullied out of it by the rogues who are taking over the political debate in this country. But at that stage, I wanted to read what he had to say about why he did what he did in the coalition, because I was really interested in that, and he explains himself quite well. And he's a really clever guy, and it's a shame about the student, about tuition fees, because if it wasn't for that, I think a lot of people would be quite on board with the Nick Clegg thing.
So you're a big fan of Nick Clegg?
I am, actually. Yeah, I think he did really well. And I think the Lib Dems, I know the tuition fees, but apart from that, if you set aside that awfulness, then there's a lot of stuff he did. He blocked a lot of shitter Tory stuff when he was in charge, when he was in coalition.
Well, you obviously a fan. Alan, not a fan.
Fuck you, Alan.
Two stars.
Fuck you, Alan.
Good grief, Nick. Good grief, Nick. Full-blooded much? No holds barred storytelling while the wounds are still open. A must for anyone suffering from Cool Britannia and the Cameron years. What a read.
What does that mean? Is that sarcasm?
I don't really know. Well, it's two stars.
I don't understand. He does justify himself a bit too much. He is quite pompous, and he does talk about things like when he was head boy and stuff that makes you go, all right, Nick, you don't need to stop showing off, mate.
Well, he's a politician, isn't he? You have to be privately school educated, otherwise you're not allowed in.
It's obligatory.
Everyday sexism.
Loved it. I was becoming woke at this stage, probably.
We should all be feminists. You were. 2017 was your woke year.
Caitlin Moran got me onto it when I read How to Be a Woman, which I fucking loved. That was a bit earlier than this. But then a lot of great books came out then, which really just made me go, oh my God. I remember I had a real revelation because I used to do a lot of studio warm-up, and I'd see a lot of sitcoms come and go, a lot of pilots, and there was one in particular. And there was just three blokes being laddish, and the three women parts, one was fit, one was old and annoying, and one was a nerd, I think. And it was just these archetypes that were so tired. And all the women did was go, ugh, at the men. And I remember sitting there doing warm-up, watching this unfold. And I was like, hang on a second. These women have all got terrible parts. I don't know. It was a real kind
yes.
of... It sounds desperately woken now.
Welcome.
It was. I remember speaking to our mutual friend Lizzie Roper about it. And I was like, oh, I get it now. Because I spent years going... No, it's all right. Women get good parts and they can have fun with their parts they've been given. And then I was just watching this one sitcom recording and I was like, Ellie Taylor, who was amazing, was just doing the same thing again and again because that's what the script was, because that's what their job was. And I thank God that's changed so much now. And it has.
I was told by a casting director that I was not pretty enough to be a leading lady and too pretty to be a character actress. And those are the only two options. In 2018, you bought another radio.
Yeah.
DAB radio to hear yourself on it.
By 18, I'm on magic by this point. So my life, I'm just in the most, the magic has begun in every sense by this point. My kids are there and I'm on the radio doing a job I love. I'm doing a lot less stand-up, which had driven me a bit mad, I think, for a long time, for over a decade. So I'm just doing a job I love, which I feel like I'm good at, and I'm having a great time. Yeah, it's all boringly good at this point.
Right, we're going to whiz through... 2019.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to say the thing and you're going to say one sentence of why.
Amazing, love it.
Okay. Freeze-dried raspberry.
Really nice to add on to cheap granola and much cheaper than the Jordan's Fruit Crunch options, which have got the strawberry, dried strawberry and raspberry built in.
I wear World Clear Lens Geek Retro Unisex glasses.
For an audition where I was playing someone intelligent.
Liverpool FC soccer drink water bottle.
I love Liverpool and I want my kids to love Liverpool and I love my kids drinking water.
That was very succinct.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm good at this.
More freeze-dried raspberries.
I really like granola.
More freeze-dried raspberries.
I'm a big fan of granola with bits of freeze-dried raspberries in it. And you just add milk and it's like, oh, it's like sweets in your granola, but actually it's fruit. So ha ha, health people, I'm being healthy.
Multi-charging cable.
Oh, I love electricity up my devices, right up my devices.
Ladies' comfort memory foam slippers.
I bought those for my wife very recently because I wanted her feet to be comfortable so she'd leave me alone and stop making me squeeze her feet.
Squeeze them.
Yeah, she always makes me squeeze them. We lay on the sofa watching telly and she makes me squeeze her feet. It's really annoying. I love her, but it's annoying.
Freeze-dried raspberries.
I really like freeze-dried raspberries.
2019, jeez. Whole Earth Original Peanut Butter Smooth.
Oh, I went a bit crazy. I bought like a slab of peanut butters I like peanut butter because it's very proteiny and it's very in right now. And I like it with, on toast with a bit of jam. And it somehow I tell myself I'm being healthy, but I'm not. I'm still being a fat git.
And finally,
yes,
I feel like this shows how far you've come. So your first purchase, Britney Spears DVD. Mm-hmm. Well, then we went into a toaster, a kettle, children pampers, freeze-dried raspberries.
I'm such a dull member of the human race. I feel very depressed by this.
Maybe it's just showing a journey because on the 3rd of December, very recently, in 2019,
your
last purchase was a cable management sleeve.
Yes, I'm trying to tidy my act up. I'm trying to make my life less riddled with messy cables.
So this is a sleeve that you wrap round
not just a sleeve,
cables.
Neoprene. It's a neoprene sleeve. And you wrap it around the cables.
What does that mean?
Neoprene is a type of sort of memory foamy type material that nerds like and put laptops inside. Yeah. So I'm just tidying my cables. Look, listen,
So
Samantha,
congratulations.
After decades of this shit, I'm getting my acts together. That's what this means, right? I feel like this is really,
so
I feel like this
cables,
podcast has really undermined my brand as the smart ass host.
No. Instead of cables, your house is just going to be covered in memory foamed cables.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
The walls have memories in my house.
Yeah. Congrats.
Sam, thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Do you know what I'm pleased about?
What?
I'm really pleased about the fact that we get to do you next.
I'm an open book. Bring it on.
Have you got a book out?
Yeah.
Oh, we've run out of time. At ToasterPod on Twitter. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with Samantha Baines in the hot seat. Goodbye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think I might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out of his wheelchair. About four of us... I mean, we battered him.
And this.
Cheating on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there? Would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. Crime Club. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.